We thank you on tonight. We bless you and honor you. We worship your holy name. Father, we're so glad to be the redeemed of the Lord. And tonight we're going to say so. We're so glad to be born again. So glad to be free from sin. So glad to be free from the enemy, free from his tyranny. So glad that you transferred us out of darkness into the light. So glad that eternity has begun on the inside of us. So glad that you've given us all of our redemptive realities. In fact, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ in a position of victory. We're so glad you've given us access to use the mighty name of Jesus. You've filled our heart with joy. You've given us the power of the word. You've covered us with the blood. You've given us the great helper, the Holy Ghost. Father, we are so glad for all the things you've done for us tonight. We're not sad. We're not mad. We're glad. We're full of joy tonight, Father God. Thank you for all that you've done to accomplish our redemption. Thank you for freeing us and by the blood of Jesus. Thank you that we're in Christ tonight. Everything is different because of who we are in Christ. Thank you for it tonight. As we come with the word, Father, we know that you've never sent your word on a mission and the word failed to accomplish what you sent it for. And tonight, Father, we're here intentionally and on purpose. And we know you have a word in season, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. And Father, that word, Father, bring that word to your people tonight. Those who are watching over a live stream or through some other venue, bring the word to them. Those who are here in this live service, bring the word to them. Speak to every listening ear. Speak a word to every listening ear. Give us ears to hear tonight from the word, from the Holy Spirit. Thank you for our great helper tonight, the Holy Ghost. Thank you. He's the one who enables us to speak the word with boldness tonight. He's the one who gives us revelation. He's the truth revealer. He's the great helper, the comforter, the counselor, the standby, and the guide. So feed your people. We are all your people. This is your pasture. We thank you for our pastors that you've set over this place. Thank you so much for the Hagans. Thank you, Father, for how they labor continually in our behalf. We just love them and we thank you for them. And Father, thank you for accomplishing your purpose and plan tonight. We'll give you all of the glory and the honor and the praise for unction and utterance. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you believe that, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, greet one more person you didn't get to greet. Greet somebody else. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Amen. Good to see everybody tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's thank all of our frontline singers and musicians for leading us into the presence of God tonight. Don't you appreciate them? Anointed people doing the Lord's work. Amen. You have your Bible tonight. Go with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We're going to begin at verse 16 and 17 tonight. I'm reading from the New American Standard version. Someone said, why do you read from that? Oh, that's my favorite version. I love New American Standard. I love New Living. I love to read scripture, you know, in various versions, but I love to preach mainly from New American Standard. So we're in James chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 16 and 17. The word says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. I love it when it says in the Amplified that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much, making tremendous power available. That fervent prayer, that sense of that word fervent means hot, means heated, means passionate. That passionate prayer, but the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, the Amplified says. And then the Amplified says, making tremendous power available. I like that. And then verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. You think Mrs. Hagin has an anointing over the weather? Elijah beat her to it, but she's not far behind Elijah. I'm convinced of that. But the Bible says here, in the Amplified, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, righteous woman avails much. That our prayers as believers make tremendous power available. You know, I doubt we realize just how much power there is when we pray. The reason Satan is so terrified when a believer prays is because there is so much power generated. There is so much power generated when a believer prays. Glory to God. When we use the name of Jesus and the promises of God's word and we pray in faith, tremendous power is generated. And the Bible encourages you and I to consider Elijah, to consider his life. The Bible says he was a person. He was a human being just like us. He was just like us. But there was power of fervent, effectual prayer produced tremendous power, made tremendous power available. And God, he wants you and I to know that that same power is being generated or should be generated by you and I in our prayer life. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. We ought to have as much confidence in our prayers tonight as Elijah had when he prayed it wouldn't rain. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. There was so much power in his prayer. He prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and there was so much power when he prayed the next time that there was just a deluge of rain. There was power when that man prayed. And I believe the enemy looks at you and says, there's power when that woman prays. You know, there's power when that man prays. I think demons shudder, demons shake when we use the name of Jesus in faith. But I tell you, we've got to realize, we've got to recognize tonight, there is power, there is power. I believe that if we realized how much power is generated when we pray, I believe we'd all pray more. A preacher won't get an amen making a statement like that. But I believe we would pray more. We would pray more if we knew how much power is generated when we pray using that name. We'd pray more. We'd pray more. We wouldn't neglect a day of prayer. Yeah. Because there's so much power generated, and God wants us to have that kind of confidence, that much confidence in our prayers like Elijah had in his prayers. And so we're going to talk about the faith that we use when we pray, because that is so important. You know, when Jesus prayed for people, oftentimes when you read, and for the sake of time tonight, I won't turn to these scriptures, but in Matthew 8, Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus prayed for the centurion, when he prayed for the woman with the issue of blood, when he prayed for the two blind men, you notice after he got done praying for them and they were healed, he said this, your faith made you well. Jesus attributed it to their faith. I said their faith had something to do with their healing. And you and I, our faith has something to do with our receiving. If we're not receiving, it's got something to do with our faith. And if we are receiving, it's got something to do with our faith. And that shouldn't blow us up in pride. That should make us fall at God's feet humbly. Amen. Because there's power when you pray. And God wants you and I not to just be wasting time praying. He wants us to be praying with confidence, with a holy boldness. Yeah. And how many know there's a difference when we pray expecting and when we pray and we're not really expecting it? Anybody been there other than Brother Bill? I've prayed sometimes. And then if I'm not expecting, you know, you pray, you're forming the words. But there is prayer that follows what's called mental assent. And then there is a bold, passionate expectation, a fiery Holy Ghost prayer. And God wants us to pray that way. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Yeah, we're talking about our prayer life tonight, and we're talking about how we use our faith specifically. We're talking about our faith specifically. So Jesus, when he prayed for people, oftentimes, not in every single miracle, but most of the miracles he did, most of them, follow in the passages, he says, your faith did that. Your faith made you well. When the disciples were out on the lake and they were terrified by the storm and they thought they were going to die, and he got up and rebuked the wind, the first thing he said to them is, where was your faith? He was looking. He was asleep in the boat. He was looking for them to use their faith with expectation against that storm. Yeah. And he expects you and I to use our faith with expectation. But let me say this. This is one of the most important things I'm going to say. Listen, faith is not an isolated force. I wish a preacher could get an amen there. Faith is not an isolated spiritual force. Say, what do you mean by that? Well, you know how over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, it says this, that faith works by love. In other words, we can be talking faith. We can sound like we're in faith all we want, but if we don't walk in love, our faith isn't going to work right. How many realize that tonight? We can talk faith all we want, but listen, if I don't treat you right, I can use the name of Jesus. I can use the word. I can quote God's promises. But then if I don't treat you right, if I don't walk in love with you, guess what? Faith is not going to work. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. And we always quote Mark 11, 22 through 24, but we better be quoting 25 and 26. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against the, I wish I had an amen. If you have aught against anybody. Why? Because faith won't work right. If we harbor, bitterness or anger or resentment or unforgiveness, then it hinders faith. It hinders the working of faith. And when our faith is hindered, then it'll hinder us receiving in the way that God expects us to receive. He told us to consider, to compare ourselves to Elijah, who prayed it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain 3.5 years. And so faith is not an isolated spiritual force. Everything we do by faith. Galatians 3:11 says the just shall live by faith. Faith isn't something that we just do when we're believing God for something that is faith. But faith is so much more than, faith is a lifestyle for us as a believer. Every single thing we do as a believer is connected to our faith. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. And so faith is not an isolated spiritual force. And just like I showed you there, Galatians 5, 6, faith works by love. The scripture is chock full of other things that must be connected to our faith. If our faith is going to work right so that we can receive in a way that God wants us to receive. Do you know God wants you to receive? And over in John, don't turn there, but over in John 15, the Bible says in John 15, 11, that look, Jesus said, until now, you haven't prayed for anything in my name, but now you're going to pray in my name and you're going to use my name so that your joy can be full. John 15, the same chapter, verse 7, he said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. God wants you and I to receive, and he wants you and I to be full of joy. But sometimes our prayers fall short, and it's because we're not adding what the Bible says should be added, should be mixed with our faith. There's something that we need to mix or add to our faith if we're going to receive at the level God wants us to receive at. Are you with me tonight? All right, so let's take a look at this real quick. If you'll go with me, first of all, we just read there in James, but if you'll go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 5 when you get there. But I love verse 4. God's given us exceeding great and precious promises that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 4 is a powerful, powerful word. We have exceeding great precious promises. Isn't that awesome? And whatever you and I face in life, there is an exceeding great precious promise that covers it. I said, amen. It doesn't matter what you're going through tonight. It doesn't matter what you're facing. There's an exceeding great, precious promise that covers whatever it is confronting you. Amen. But verse 5 is where we're going. At 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. In your godliness, brotherly kindness. In your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Oh my. Did you see there's a whole litany of things that I read there that he's saying have to be added to our faith. He said add moral excellence to our faith. But people today teach, it don't matter how you live. You can live like a child of the devil. Don't matter how you live. That's a lie from the pit of hell. How we live our lives can't earn us redemption. It can't earn us what Jesus did to free us from sin. But I tell you, if we really believe it, then we ought to live in a way that's commensurate with what he did for us. I said, if a person's really a believer, it'll show up in their lifestyle. A brother can't get an amen teaching about living right. But he said, listen, add self-control to your faith. Peter did under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Add discipline, add self-control, add moral excellence. He lists all those things that should be added to faith. And that list sounds amazingly like James chapter 1. So go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. The title of this message, I should have given this in the beginning, is we're talking about tonight, the power of your faith. That's the title of this message. The power of your faith. The power of your faith. We're in James chapter 1, and we're going to examine. James seems to give, in this first chapter, a list of things that have to be added to faith, just like Paul wrote in Galatians, faith worketh by love. Here, James, writing under the inspiration of the Spirit, said there's some things that have to be added to our faith. Peter, writing by the inspiration of the Spirit that we just read, said there's some things we've got to add to our faith. If our faith is going to work right, we've got to add the right ingredients to it. I said, amen. And so, let's in James chapter 1, verse 2, you know how it starts off there. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Let me stop right there. Joy is one of the elements we have to add to our faith. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. As believers, we have to maintain our joy. And we live in such a negative world. We live among such negative people that every day it's possible to face situations that can discourage you as a believer if you're not careful. But the Bible warns you and I, the Bible commands you and I to maintain our joy. Because our joy is not based upon something that some human being has done for us. Our joy is based upon who we are in Christ. Jesus died. He gave his life for you and I. And one of the reasons he freed us from sin, thank God. But he also gave his life to give us joy. Jesus said, you're going to pray in my name. And then when I answer your prayer, you'll be full of joy. He said, I want you to be full of joy. Do you know the will of God for you is to be full of joy? Even when we face adversity, even when we face trial and circumstance, we've got to count it all joy. And when we encounter a negative circumstance, there ought to be a ha, ha, ha down on the inside of us. We ought to just have sometime, you know, you're going through a negative situation. You just say, ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 devil. I'm not going to let you steal my joy. Because if the devil can't steal your joy, he can't get to your victory. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. You need to show that devil he can't get his hands on your joy. Now some people, they get joy twisted. They get it twisted with, you know, personal happiness or some things that people, you know, like just in life. You know, someone riding around in a Cadillac or having a house on a hill. That doesn't give you joy. You might be happy doing. There's nothing wrong with that. You might be happy doing that. But a Cadillac and a house on a hill won't give you joy. Joy comes from being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Joy comes from having your name written in the Lamb's book of life. Joy comes from knowing that there are angels following you. Joy comes from knowing that God is perfecting everything, hey, that concerns you and I. That's where joy comes from. I said joy, real joy, Holy Ghost joy. I said the devil didn't give you that, and the devil can't take it from you. And when something comes against you, the Bible said, count it all joy. You just say, hey, ha, 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 devil, ha, ha, ha. You ain't going to have my joy. Ha, ha, ha. You ain't going to have my joy. Ha, 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 ha. I'll have joy when the sun is shining. I'll have joy when it's raining and cloudy. I'll have joy when there's money in my account. I'll have joy when I don't have any money there. I'll have joy on Monday. I'll have joy on Friday. I'll have joy every day of the week. I said, Jesus died for you and I to have joy. Holy Ghost joy. Yeah. as we have to count it all joy. You're going through a trial. You're going through a circumstance. You may have lost your job. You need to say, ha, 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 devil. Ha, 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 because the job was not my source. Hey, my heavenly Father is my source. And if he gave me a job before, hey, he'll give me another one. He's got a better job for me. I said, God will make it all right. If we can maintain our joy. And there are so many Christians who live like the weather. And if it's sunny outside, they're happy and excited. And if it's raining outside, they're gloomy and depressed and defeated. The weather is so bad. But God intends for you and I, if there's 18 inches of snow in the forecast and no forecast for the sun to come up for a week, God intends for us to have joy every single day. Yeah. And so James said here, listen, one of the things that we're talking about tonight, he said, count it all joy. Count it all joy. You're going through something. Ha, ha, ha. You may be waiting for, you know, you're believing that you're healed. You're the healed of the Lord. Jesus already paid the price for you and I to be healed. Thank God, Isaiah 53. Thank God, 1 Peter 2, 24. Thank God, Matthew 8, 16, 17. And you may have entered into faith and maybe you haven't seen the manifestation and show up in your body yet. But all you ought to tell the devil, you need to tell the devil, ha, 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 devil, ha, ha, ha. Just tell him, ha, 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 devil, you're not going to get my joy. You know, I remember in 1985 when I was in class here in at Faith Library, and Brother Hagin was teaching one day, and he shared that after he, you know, he'd been healed of that incurable blood disease and that heart condition and such a miraculous healing. And he said some years after that, that every symptom one night came, every symptom that he had that he was healed of came back on him in the middle of the night. Every single symptom that he had been healed from, he said, came back on him. Yeah. I mean, you know, the Satan is the master of the counterattack. But Jesus is our master and he is our Lord. And it doesn't matter what Satan tries. If we'll just keep our joy and stick with the word, God will bring us to the victory. He said every symptom came back on him in the middle of the night. And you know what he said? He said he just started saying, ha, 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 ha. He said after a while, the enemy said, why are you laughing? Who are you laughing at? And he said, I'm laughing at you, devil. I'm laughing at you because I've already got the victory and you think that I'm going to let you take the victory from me, and I'm not going to let you take the victory. I've already got the victory. I'm already healed. Yeah, he said he went to sleep saying, ha, ha, ha. When he woke up, every symptom was gone. Yeah. Sometimes you just have to tell the devil, ha, ha, ha. I'm going to keep my joy. Yeah. I mean, JP, I tell you, there are times at our home after I went through a divorce, man, I cut a step and run all around the house shouting. I can't tell you how many days I did that. Shout, run all around the house full of joy. JP come out of his bedroom looking like Christmas morning, like, what happened? I said, I feel a Holy Ghost shout coming on. And sometimes you need to tell the devil, I feel a Holy Ghost shout coming on. Yeah. And so he said, count it all joy. And that's one of the things we have to add to our faith. Nehemiah 8:10 says, you know, listen, the joy of the Lord is our, yeah, our strength. So one of the things we have to add is joy. Secondly, verse 5, he says, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given him. A second thing we need to add to our faith is wisdom. Let me tell you this, faith and wisdom go together. Operating in faith, it's necessary that we operate in wisdom too, because if we don't operate in wisdom, we'll make poor choices and poor decisions. And operating in faith requires you and I to make good choices, wise choices. And the Holy Ghost, our great helper, he'll help us make the right decision. Too many people depending on mental realm. Too many people making decisions just weighing out pros and cons. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with weighing out pros and cons from a natural perspective, seeing how things work. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can't let you can't use that as a litmus to make your final decision on what to do. So many people, they just say, well, I'll just go with the majority. I'll just, whatever the majority says. You need wisdom from God. I said, you need wisdom from God. I was buying a house one time, and this little Holy Ghost lady, just a wonderful Christian lady, and I was buying a house from her, and she, not this house that I just bought, but several years ago, and I just, in my prayer time, I thought we had a house to sell still, and I as I was praying about our house selling, I just had this thought, man, if we could get all of the furniture out of our house, because we had outgrown that house. We had too much furniture in it. We had outgrown it. And so I was thinking after prayer, if we could just get all the furniture out of this house, it's such a cute little house. If somebody saw that house without all our furniture, they'd really like it. I had that thought. And so then I asked the person whose house I was going to buy, I asked her, could I store some things in her garage? And this is before we closed. I hadn't closed on the house I'm buying. And I asked her if I could put some things in the garage. And, you know, in real estate, that's a no-no. Don't let anybody occupy your property until it's sold, because most of the time, if you let somebody occupy any part of your property, they'll find something wrong, and then they want to renegotiate. So strategically, from a real estate perspective, you don't do that. But I just felt it was the Lord. I asked her, and she said, well, Bill, let me just call you back on that. And she called me back after a few days. This is what she told me. She said, Bill, do you know? She said, I asked my, you know, when you asked me, could you move some things in the garage until we close on the house? She said, I asked my best friend. My best friend said, oh, no, don't let him do that. Oh, no, don't do that. She said, so I asked my pastor. And she said, my pastor said, oh, no, don't do that. Don't let anybody, no, not even in the garage. Not a stick of furniture. Don't let him put anything in the garage. She said, my son-in-law, he's a doctor. He's a medical doctor. She said, I asked him. I trust him. He said, no, Mom, don't let anybody move it. No, nothing. No. She said, I asked my best friend. My best friend said, no, don't let him do that. She said, after all that, she said, I thought to myself, I hadn't even asked you, Lord. And she said, I went down on my knees and I asked the Lord, Lord, should I let him do this, man? Should I let him do that? And she said, just down on the inside, I had the sweetest peace. And she said, Bill, this is what I want to tell you. Not only can you use the garage, you can move every bit of furniture you want into the house before we close. She had already bought another property. She wasn't living there. She said, you can move every bit of your furniture in before the close. Won't charge you a dime. Yeah. And so I moved all my furniture out of that little house we were moving out of, moved it into the house we were buying. And then our house, after got everything out of it, sold overnight. Yeah. Sold in less than 8 hours time. God gave me wisdom is what I'm saying. I'm saying whatever decision you have to make, God will give you wisdom. But you know how he said to ask for wisdom? He said, listen, when we pray for wisdom, listen, we need to pray and ask him with expectation that he's given it. Pray in faith, because without faith, our mind is, we're double-minded. And God said, that person shouldn't expect to receive anything. Have you ever read that here in James? He said, don't expect to receive anything if you're going to pray that way. God's trying to get us to pray for results, to pray with results. How do we get results? We've got to add joy to our faith. We've got to add wisdom to our faith. Thirdly, perseverance. Down at verse 12, he says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Listen, we've got to persevere. There's got to be something in us that won't let us quit. I wish a preacher could get a bigger amen than that. I said, no matter what you go through, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad it is, there ought to be something in you saying, I will not quit. I will not quit. I will not give up. I will not quit. I will not turn around on the Lord. I will not back up on the word. I will not back up on the things of God. I am not going to quit. Come hell, come high water, I've refused to quit. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, it's kind of like the attitude of the Hebrew boys just before, you know, Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the furnace. He said, I'm going to give you one more time to fall down and worship me. And they said, we don't even need time to think about it. They said, not only are we not going to worship you, our God's going to deliver us. And if our God doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to worship you. They were really saying, we ain't going to quit. You ain't going to make us bow. And there ought to be something in our lifestyle, in our hearts as believers. Perseverance is what that is, verse 12. Perseverance. We've got to add joy to our faith. We've got to add wisdom to our faith. We've got to add perseverance to our faith if we're going to get answers. Listen, next, we've got to add patience to our faith. You know where I get that? Verse 19. He says this, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. If we're slow to anger, the antithesis of that is that we're patient. Preacher lost all his amens. We have to be patient with one another. You have to be patient with the person at the red light. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. John Hagee said one time he was going through San Antonio. He was in a rush to get to a meeting. He was rushing across town. He said he got behind. He was in the car. He gets behind this little old lady, and she's at the red light, and he can see how frail he is. He said, I got to get to the meeting. I'm in a rush. And he said, all of a sudden, the light turns green, and she didn't see it. And he said, she's in front of me. She sat right there. And he said, I watched the light go from green to yellow to red. And he said, I let her have it on that horn. Ah! He said, I blasted her with the horn. And he said, no sooner than I had blasted her with the horn, he said, there was a whole bunch of my church members in the car right next to me. And they were going, hi, Pastor. Hello, Pastor. Patience. Every husband needs patience with his wife. Every wife needs patience with her husband. Every parent needs patience with those kids, with people. We need to be patient. He said, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Why? Anger will mess up your faith. Anger will keep you from receiving. Woo! Anger will hinder the flow of your reception. And God wants us to receive like Elijah. He wants us to have expectation like Elijah when we pray. But anger will mess that up. And so the fourth thing is patience there. And look, the fifth thing is watch your mouth. Look at verse 26. Watch your mouth. We got to watch our mouth. He said, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This man's religion is worthless. Listen, we're going to have to watch what comes out of our mouth. Later in James, he says blessing and cursing shouldn't come out of the same mouth. Sweet water and bitter water shouldn't come out of the same mouth. Why? Because the bitter water will undo the faith of our prayers. Woo! We better watch what we're saying to people and how we're talking to people. It will undo our prayers. Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, wrote to husbands in 1 Peter 3:7 that if you fail to show her honor, your prayers will be hindered. Oh, preacher, ain't gonna get no amen saying that. Let me go back. You gotta watch your mouth. Listen, what are we adding to our faith? We've gotta add joy to our faith. We've gotta add wisdom to our faith. We've gotta add perseverance to our faith. We've gotta add patience to our faith. Listen, we have to watch our mouth, what we say. Sixth, we have to reach out and help others. Our faith has to be active, and we have to find a way to help other people. You know where I get that? Verse 22. He says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress. I like that. Our faith, there ought to be something about our faith that makes us reach out to want to help somebody else. Oh, I wish I had a bigger amen. We need to find somebody. You say, well, I don't know how I can help somebody. You might be able to make a loaf of bread for somebody. You might be able to cut somebody's grass. You know, back during the snowstorm, I got this big old snow blower thing in my garage. And back when we had all that snow, oh man, I had fun. I plowed that snow out of my yard. And I thought I was all done and happy. I was like, man, this was fun. Then down in my heart, the Lord said, look at your neighbor's yard. You know, she can't even get out her door. I went up there and plowed her yard. She almost cried. Yeah. Then I looked at my other neighbor. He has COPD. I went and plowed his. He came out, frail as he was, he came out in that snow. He said, I just had to come out here and tell you thank you. Find a way to help somebody else. And finally, number seven, the very last part of chapter one, it says, keep yourself unstained by the world. So we have to add to our faith living right. If you go back and look at verse 21, it says, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word and plant it. And then here at the last verse in 27, he says, keep yourself unstained by the world. And that means, my brother and sister, that we have to live a commensurate life. We've got to add holy living to our faith. And as I said earlier, there's teaching out there today that teaches it don't matter how you live. Just live like a child of the devil. Don't matter how you live. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. God is concerned about how we live. And how we live is proof of what we actually believe. But if we'll add to our faith joy, wisdom, perseverance, if we'll add patience, if we'll watch what we're saying out of our mouth, if we'll reach out with our faith and help somebody else, and if we'll live right, we'll have the same expectation and power when we pray that Elijah had. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word tonight. Thank you for encouraging us to receive. Thank you for giving us the mighty Holy Ghost. He's our great helper tonight. Thank you for the exceeding great precious promises from your word. Oh, Father, we thank you for the joy that you've given to us as believers. And so tonight, because we're all different, all coming from different perspectives, Father, help us in the way that each of us need it individually. We've shared the word now that we believe you laid on our heart for this hour. But now take your word and plant it the way you need to in each life individually. Father, someone needs to work on joy tonight. But someone else has joy and they need to work on wisdom. Someone else might have that, but they need to work on perseverance. Someone else still needs patience. Still somebody needs to watch what they're saying or how they're living. Whatever it is, Father, help us, heal us, make us whole so that our prayers will be most effective and we'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, we thank you for being here tonight, being so easy to minister to. We love you and we thank you for being here. You be here Sunday morning. Pastor will have a mighty, mighty word from heaven. And how many glad our pastors can get a little rest, get refreshed, and they deserve twice the time that they take. I know they're not here, but let's clap for them in absentia because we have the best pastors on the planet. So you follow those things. Let the Lord minister to your heart. If you need prayer for anything tonight, we want you to come forward. Our prayer team is here, and these anointed gentlemen over here are for you. If you're a guy, come up and see them. And if you're a lady, come over here, one of these anointed ladies. They will pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. If it is your first time, did we have any first-time guests? Pastor Denise, did we have any first-time guests tonight? We did. All right, if you have a first-time guest, wave at me again real big. And our connection team members are going to come to you, and we've got a great gift for you. And let's thank them for coming again tonight. All of our first-time guests. All right. And so you need to examine your own faith with the Holy Spirit and see what he might want to help you with. And you won't leave like you came. All right. With all hearts and minds are clear, everybody stand up on your feet. You be here on Sunday morning. 9 a.m. is our School of the Bible hour. 10 o'clock, Pastor will have a powerful word. You are dismissed. God bless you, one and all.